This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 89 in an ash-covered post-apocalyptic no-fly zone.
My mum got stuck in Belgium.
Well,
stuck there, right, in Ghent, surrounded by Belgians with pitchforks.
Right.
And couldn't get home. Do you know what she did in the end?
Stayed there.
You know, train.
Train. Mads. Wow. Yeah.
But she had to go first class.
Oh, no.
But she said she did get a nice breakfast. So that was all right.
Yes, no, that's good. You're right. Your mum getting a good breakfast is pretty much worth the whole of Northern Europe not working.
It's very important to get a good breakfast, like Ready Breck or something, because it sets you off for the day. And mum usually only has black coffee, and I tell her off for this, but she doesn't like Ready Breck. It reminds her of boarding school. And she got thrown out of boarding school because she ran down the corridors naked. For money. It was fine. This is why she says she can't be put into a home. Because she gets put into a home, she'll do the same thing.
So hang on, is this because of Ready Breck? Any time she eats Ready Breck, the orange glow burns her clothes off and makes her run up and down to get cool. Is that? I'm confused.
My mum's already cool.
Your mum is pretty cool, I will give you that. Guess what I did this week?
What did you do this week?
I dressed up as Nick Clegg and broke into a Manchester TV studio and pretended I was in a debate. It was fantastic. Apparently everyone really liked me.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's good. I didn't see the debates because I was gigging at the time. I was earning some crust. That's what I was doing. I was earning crust to feed my mother Ready Breck.
Well, surely you'd have been feeding her toast if you were earning her crust.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This is clever.
Yeah.
So how were the debates? I didn't see them.
They're all right. They're a bit pointless, really. We're not electing a president, so, you know, what's the point in watching the leaders? You're electing your local MP. Best bit, though, was when the three of them turned to their progenitor device and the back of the studio opened and a load of primary coloured bigger leaders came out. That was very good. I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that. I saw that in Doctor Who as well, for those who aren't following. But I do worry about this because they got new style Daleks who look a bit snazzier so they can sell more toys. And what bothers me about these Daleks is they're a good couple of foot taller than the old Daleks. And stairs have always been a problem for Daleks. That's always been their nemesis. This is stairs. Now it's going to be door frames.
Yeah, but won't they just blast a hole in the wall?
Yeah. What if it's like the TARDIS where you can't do that?
See, I'm a little bit annoyed because this is the second time we've done this intro. And in the first one, you didn't know that the TARDIS was indestructible. And now you're saying that you do know. And you do know that even the rampaging hordes of Genghis Khan couldn't get into the TARDIS.
No. Because you misunderstood in the previous introduction that what I was talking about was when the Daleks came into the TARDIS and you said, oh, they couldn't do that. And I said, they could if they have the Doctor's key, or at least the old ones used to be able
How
to do
could
that.
A Dalek use a key?
It's got a suction device.
It hasn't got fingers.
You're so racist.
No, that's the Daleks. They're racist.
I know they're racist, but it doesn't mean that you have to stoop down. You are a Dalek. You're drinking tea, for one.
Talking of racism, I've got the Mail on Sunday this week.
Oh, nice. I have what you look in.
The deep, dark abyss of my soul.
Yes, the mirror. Well done. What's really weird about the mirror is it's very pro-Labour. It's very odd.
Why is that weird? It's always been pro-Labour.
But you never see anybody be pro-Labour anymore. It's very odd. Every time I say Labour, I kind of like... I did an interview on BBC Radio Oxford about offensiveness. I was defending Frankie Boyle. And I had to really think about the words I was saying to make sure none of them was And so every time I say Labour now, I'm thinking, did I say labia? Did I?
So essentially, you were just throughout the interview going, don't say f***, don't say f***, don't say f***, don't say f***. But so that's gonna be fun to edit.
No, but I did end up saying the juicy.
Should we cut things out and keep them then?
Like what? Like appendices?
I've only got one appendix.
I have four. I'm Time Lord.
I bet Time Lords don't have four appendixes.
I bet they've got appendices. None actually. To be fair, you know, they say the Time Lord's got two hearts, right?
Two hearts living in two separate worlds.
Well, exactly, because he does regenerate. So, in fact, his entire lifespan, if there are 13 doctors, for example, he's going to have 26 hearts.
That sounds like a Meatloaf song. 26 hearts from Tulsa or something, I don't know.
Looking in the dashboard light.
Yeah, it'll be something to do with the motorbike, wouldn't it? It'd be like 26 hearts in my panniers. When I have a crash and rock with
bats
a bat.
In hell. The bat out of hell is actually a reference to cricket.
Because like a bat out of hell, I'll be gone when the morning comes. Is that what happens in cricket?
The morning is a cricketing reference to the person catching the ball. That's called the morning because they are mourning the loss of flight because the ball is effectively dead when it hits your hand. So like a bat out of hell, I'll be gone when the morning comes. And he's going to be doing so many runs between the sticks that you're not even going to see him. He's going to be that quick.
Just stop lying to our American readers.
Hell is actually a reference to Australia because it's very hot in Australia, and so like a bat out of hell, I'm a batsman from Australia really running quickly and you're never going to hit my wicket. What are you going to cut out and keep, Simon?
Francis Ween.
Woo! Francis Ween. He's got a brilliant name, but he doesn't update on Twitter ever.
He's talking about The Secret Life of Plants, a book from the 70s that said that vegetables in a man's greenhouse, Cleve Baxter, reacted to his thoughts if he wired them up to the terminals of a lie detector. But when a Canadian plants physiologist came to observe this phenomenon, the plants stubbornly refused to cooperate. Unabashed, Baxter explained that they had fainted in her presence because they somehow sensed that she mistreated her plants back home. In the same book, Ken Hashimoto, a Japanese plant fancier, boasted that his cactus could count up to 20 if attached to a polygraph. But again, the spiky prodigy seemed curiously reluctant to show off this party trick for anyone other than its friend Ken. The most entertaining experiment chronicled by the unblinkingly gullible authors of The Secret Life of Plants was conducted by Pierre-Paul Sauvin of New Jersey, who attached a Rube Goldenberg machine to his plant and then went off on a dirty weekend 80 miles away with a girlfriend. On his return, he found that the plants had reacted when he had sex with the woman, and at the moment of orgasm, the tone oscillators went right off the top.
Well, explain that, Simon, because I don't think anybody else can. Plants know what you're thinking.
I really do like the idea of plants having auras and reacting to sex 80 miles away.
Do you think they were carrots? Do you think they grew?
Oh, I see. You think carrots are reacting to all the bunnies f***ing around them?
Yeah.
The only trouble with my cut out and keep
is
it's from the book Strange Days Indeed, not from my newspaper.
What? Right, if we're not going to pick things from our newspaper, listen to this.
Hello and welcome to another Sunday Supplement interview. I'm here with the writer of Jack of Kent, Alan Green, and he's going to tell us all about everything he knows ever. Now, basically, you've been writing a lot on the Simon Singh case, which started out as a little article in The Guardian, didn't it?
Yes, it was an article which I think nobody really remembers having actually read, as opposed to reread because of the libel suit. It was a comment article in the comment section of The Guardian, responding to Chiropractic Awareness Week, and it was written by Simon Singh to help promote a book he had just published, which he had co-written with Edzard Ernst, Trick or Treatment, with the ironic subtitle now, Alternative Medicine on Trial. The article was published, and sometime a few weeks afterwards, the British Chiropractic Association, which had been mentioned in the article, and because of some legal technicality, they had personality to sue, even though they were just an association, sued him, not The Guardian, didn't take up the Guardian's right of reply, but sued Simon individually to force him to retract, to force him to apologise. This just that time just struck so many people as wrong. I happen to have a blog. I happen to know a bit about media law and libel law. And suddenly, there were thousands of people around the world who wanted to know what the hell was happening. And I was in the position to be able to write and explain libel law to people at the time. And that's how the blog took off. And it was some time, it was about 6, 7, 8 months before the mainstream media became interested. So for a long time, it was an event which was being followed on the blogosphere rather than on the TV or in the main newspapers.
Wow, so what's the case now? I mean, what if you're a journalist and you sort of want to say something along the lines of you don't agree with somebody's views, I mean, what's the libel law say that you can say?
Well, thanks to a superb Court of Appeal decision a couple of weeks ago, on April Fool's Day, actually, which was quite a nice way to round off Chiropractic Awareness Week 2 years later, the Court of Appeal have held that if you make statements about evidence, you will generally be allowed to say that's just opinion, which means you've got a defence unless you're acting maliciously. So that's a step forward, but it's not a huge step forward. There's still a great deal wrong with libel law. There are still actually articles not being published, not being written, because of libel chill. As Simon Singh quite rightly says, it's not so much that writers are gagged, it's just that the public are blindfolded. So we do need to have libel reform, we need to have an Act of Parliament. This week, all three main political parties have announced that they are in favour of reform of libel, and this is directly because of the campaign of nerds and geeks in support of Simon over the last year or two. That's going to go forward, but we do need help. There is a website, www.libelreform.org. The numbers which accumulate in favour of that petition actually keep the story going. And so go to the website, sign the petition, and hopefully in the first year of the new Parliament, we will have a Simon Singh Libel Act.
So all three parties say that they're for this now. They're going to have a big reform in their manifesto.
The manifesto wording is manifesto wording. It isn't hard-edged, but nobody really expects that in manifestos. But it's significant that it's there. The Conservative Party have it in their civil liberties section next to repealing the Human Rights Act and getting rid of the Fox Hunting Act. But it's there. Libel reform is there. The Labour Party are committed to reform. The Liberal Democrats committed a long time ago after a sterling speech at their party conference by Richard Dawkins. And so, because of the pressure, as I said, from sceptics in the pub groups, from the blogosphere, we have made an issue which nobody was thinking about a year or so ago into something which may actually lead to political action. It's an incredible achievement of Simon Singh and the people who have been supporting him.
So, what is the argument against libel reform? Because it seems almost universally popular. Why has it stayed the same for so long?
It actually has now become an extreme position to say that there's nothing wrong with libel law. Almost everybody admits it. It's when we sort of get to detail, some people are saying, no, that reform shouldn't be done. There needs to be more thought on it. Obviously, there are lots of vested interests involved. There are vested interests of the law firms that have, as a commercial model, this conditional fee arrangement. There's vested interests of the media outlets. So once we get down to detail, then yes, there's going to be opposition to certain things. But the fact that there's a principle now settled out of the blue, which wasn't even an issue in political debate a year ago, is a great achievement. But yes, it will be a fail. Unless we can actually get the detail right, all this will have been for nothing so far, apart from one or two things like Simon's victory. But unless we can engage with political process and with Parliament in the new session to get libel reform, we haven't really achieved anything yet.
That's a shame. You know, I thought it was going better than that. I thought we'd basically done it. One silly question then to round off this little interview. What animal would you like to put in the Hadron Collider, if you could? I mean, number one is a kitten. That's top of the poll at the moment, putting a kitten around, mainly because you can smash them together and get new ones. But can you think of another animal that would be worth speeding around in space?
Not an animal. But there's a whole range of legislation about curtailing freedom of speech, which we could put in a book, and we could actually spin around until it self-destructs. And that would be a great achievement. There is so much which we could just get rid of at a stroke if we could, which restricts free speech in this country. So it wouldn't be an animal. It would be a lot of legislation. And I would happily put it in the tube, slam the door shut, press the red button, and just watch it spin into oblivion.
What about you could get a bookworm, spin it round and somehow mutate it into an intelligent bookworm and then actually work through every single law and just cut it down to the bare minimum? An anti-bureaucratic bookworm.
That would be a very bored bookworm if it had worked through every single legal book, I can assure you.
Well, Angry, thank you very much for speaking to us.
Forever onwards and onwards and onwards to our school or far school then.
And your inevitable death. Now we're going to play Article or Farcical, where I read out three articles from this week's Sunday Mirror. No, of course you're not going to die.
No, I'll tell you why I'm not going to die.
You're going to kill the bear. Say it. You're going to kill the bear.
Wow.
What?
That's such an obscure record. I'm not going to die. I'll tell you why I'm not going to die.
Why aren't you going to die?
Because I have sucked on the teat of Nick Clegg. And he actually lactates the milk of human immortality.
I wish Nick Clegg was called Norman and spent more time running down hillsides in a bath.
Yeah, and had Compo as his chancellor.
And then you could have, like, Gordon Brown dressed up as Nora Batty.
He does look like Laura Batty.
And he does wear very loose stockings that fall down. And he does have an enormously hairy minge.
Hey, the Liberal Democrats have a minge, don't they? He used to be their leader.
Ha, ha, some minges.
I feel really sorry for our American listeners this week. Already we ruined Doctor Who. We're talking about a sitcom that they've probably never heard of.
They're calling their like opposition people Tea Partiers, and I just find that really offensive to the Queen. And to chimps.
Chimps?
Yeah, well, they're
Oh, because
have
they have tea parties. Right, okay. Right, let's play Article or Farcical.
Okay, so three of these are from this week's Sunday Mirror. One of the bees I have made up. It's up to you, dear readers at home, to decide which one I've made up. It's also up to Simon to decide, but he won't get it right because he never does. Are you ready, Simon?
Yep.
Panda Oldie Mum.
Panda Oldie Mum?
Yeah. This is all about Panda, who's had babies due to IVF treatment when she was 63.
Pandas don't live to 63.
It's true.
Bollocks. No. If I ate bamboo every day, I'd be dead.
That is
true.
And
I wouldn't be able to produce sperm. But I would look cute. And so it's not much different now. Go on then.
Chewy Louie goes kablooey.
Chewy Louie goes kablooey. Wow. Yes. I like that. What's that about?
Something about Louis Theroux at boarding school was Nick Clegg's fag. Apparently. So there we go.
Nick Clegg's fag.
Seriously?
Wow.
They went to the same boarding school and Louis Theroux was Nick Clegg's fag.
Do you want to explain to our American readers what a fag is?
It's a homosexual man.
No, it's
in America.
Not.
In America it is.
Whatever. Go on then.
Okay, it's a cigarette. Right. You lit him on fire. It's very sad. Spice Invaders.
Spice Invaders, quite nice.
And Taking the Mykonos.
What's that about?
About holidays in Mykonos.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
Oh, brilliant this week.
Oh, I don't know. Chewy Louie Goes Kablooey is pretty good.
Panda Oldie Mum, I think, was pretty sweet.
Yeah, possibly.
So it's Pandemodium. Do you get
oh,
it?
Oh, I see.
Pandemodium.
Yeah, no, that's really tenuous. I don't approve.
Why don't you approve of that?
Because it's too tenuous.
I spent ages on that, Simon. Oh, whoops.
Right. Well, I think I'm going to say Spice Invaders was the one you made up. What's it about?
It's about herbs that you grow in your gardens, the Spice Invaders.
So. Oh, I see. You're growing your own basil.
Yeah, you can put them around like other plants and they just look like other plants, but actually you can eat them.
Do they slowly go left and right across the garden, getting closer to the doorway? And then from the doorway, you have to like throw carrots at them and knock them down. And then when they get to the bottom of the garden, near your door, your house explodes. Is that what happens?
Oh, I see. Yes, you're referencing Space Invaders, the computer game, which happened before I started playing computer games.
And me? I'm not that old. Well, maybe I am, actually.
You are, actually.
Did I ever play Space Invaders? So, am I right? Is Spice Invaders... Spice Invaders?
Spice Invaders. Yeah.
Spice Invaders. Is that the farcical?
Do you think it's the farcical, readers? Remember, it is Chewy Louie Goes Kablooey, Panda Oldie Mum, Spice Invaders, and Taking the Mykonos. Which do you think it is? Do you agree with Simon that it's Spice Invaders? Because if you do, you're wrong.
Oh, poet. Spice Invaders would have been a better arc.
So, is it Taking the Mykonos, Simon? What do you think?
No.
You're right, it's not. That's actually the front cover story of Homes and Holidays.
Right. Don't tell me you made up Chewy Louie Goes Kablooey.
Why?
I'll be really annoyed.
Simon?
You didn't.
I made up Chewy Louie Goes Kablooey.
I hate you so much. It occurs to me that we don't really talk about our newspapers very much these days.
No.
This is a good thing, because mine has got Piers Morgan in it.
Aww.
And he is my humdogger, as always. The man is a reprehensible piece of knuckery.
I'm guessing he's going to talk about Amanda Holden and Simon Cowell some more.
Yeah, he does mention them. But he's talking about a poll about the most trusted and least trusted Britons, of which he's number 6 of the least. He also says that further investigation revealed that I polled no votes at all in the most trusted category.
Bloody hell. And which poll was this? Who did this poll? Was it him?
No, it doesn't say. Then he goes on to say, this is a few days later, he was in Orlando for America's Got Talent, and he forgot. The window to his hotel room opened straight out onto the busiest areas of the Universal Studio theme park. And he flew open the window, and he says 2,000 tourists saw him naked.
I did that once in a train station.
What?
I was staying overnight in an old sort of train station-y type thing. So it's actually up near Grimsby. They've got a private railway with old trains and stuff. And I woke up in the morning and opened the curtain only to find a load of kids staring at me.
Were you naked?
I was.
They must have enjoyed that somehow.
Well, they quite like green fur kids, so, you know.
Yeah, true. But I thought you would actually be physically disgusted and repulsed by the idea of Piers Morgan naked. I thought that was going to make you vomit.
To be fair, when I think of Piers Morgan, I kind of always think of him naked, quivering for his life whilst an axe-wielding murderer takes yet another chop.
Well, this will make you vomit. And thanks to those of you I spotted spontaneously mouthing the words, Britain's Got Talent, because he thinks that 2,000 American tourists that weren't actually there looking at him naked thought he'd have a big penis, you see. But he also then goes on to talk about David Cameron with the most amazing lack of self-awareness. He says, Cameron's problem is that people just don't really like him. He's very rich, very posh, and very pleased with himself. But most troubling of all for the voters is his babyface youth.
Yeah.
That's almost ridiculous.
David Cameron, somebody posted on Twitter today, looks a lot like Iggle Piggle.
Who's Iggle Piggle?
He's the blue one of the In the Night Garden people. Google him.
God, I really feel sorry for our American readers this week. Sorry. So can you beat my humdogger to a pulp, please?
I can certainly beat your humdogger to a pulp. That. I've got an entire section called When Celebs Go Bad.
Right.
All the pictures the stars did not want you to see. You're nicked. Celebs in the summer. Love rats, the men who just can't keep it in their pants. Warning, parental guidance. Some content may cause offence. There's, like, celebs leaked pictures. Are we taking the piss? Which shows a load of celebrities pissing. Right. None of which, the photos are not blurred or done in any way. You can see half a penis in one of them, right? Oh. But the word piss is asterisked.
So you can see a micturating phallus,
yeah,
but not the word piss.
Yeah, you can literally see Julio Iglesias's half knob.
So you've literally got a humdonger.
I've literally got a humdonger. I mean, it's really awful. They've done a top 20 of the naughtiest celeb. I mean, they put Lily Allen in there,
mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that she's in there is because they heard she's got three nipples.
What's that got to do with anything?
Exactly. They've got a thing with Perez Hilton where he's talking about the Twilight people.
Yeah.
And he says, one of them's gay. I'm not saying if it's a boy or a girl because I don't know if it's true, but one of them's gay. And you're just like, what? And there's a whole article in this supplement which is about which future stars are going to be trouble. And they get Katie and Peter's children. So the Peter Andre's kid. These kids, like, one of them's called Princess, the other's called Junior. And they are both under the age of four, and they have a photo of the youngest one, the little girl, and say that she is going to be a problem for the press in the future. And that is why I win.
It's time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week, even if we haven't really been saying anything worth listening to. My apologies.
It's been a very gentle week, this.
Gentle week, that would explain
it. It's been,
it.
Because it's summery and we're all just like, oh, let's just sit back in the sun and watch the bumblebees.
I killed a bumblebee this week.
Why?
Well, he was stuck and couldn't get out of the house, right? So I tried to help him get out of the house. I presume it was a him. And he wouldn't let me. It's huge. It's like bigger than my head, this bumblebee.
Well, yeah, but you've got a very small head. I mean, we've established how small you are. You know, your house is actually a jar.
He was actually just headbutting himself to death. So I put him out of his misery and shot him with a blunderbuss. That bit's not true. I actually just used some spray.
You sprayed him?
Yeah, not with my own man juice.
Why didn't you, like, give him some honey and
That would be like you offering me saliva.
No, it wouldn't.
It would.
It'd be like me offering you a milkshake.
No, honey is what bees spit out, isn't it?
They make honey, but that's the only thing they eat.
Bees don't eat honey.
Why else do they make it?
They eat pollen.
No, they don't.
And poo it into honeycombs.
They eat nectar and then store it as honey in their honeycombs. Pollen is incidental. That's just what rubs off on them. That's the flower basically making with the sex. Which it uses a bumblebee. I also use a bumblebee for sex.
So do I.
Yeah.
Especially the big ones. They're very good when they vibrate and buzz.
Oh, yeah.
You could sit on it and ride it bronco to oblivion.
Well, you can. You can sit on it. Because you can ride it. You are that little. You're very small.
Well, you stick them up your juicy, so you could sharp.
Only because they want it. They're whores.
They're not whores. So, basically, we haven't talked about our papers very much this week.
Well, there's been bugger all in it. The only interesting about the Mirror is how pro-Labour it is.
Actually, yeah, that's true. We are dependent on the newspapers giving us stuff to talk about. So if we're rubbish this week, it's because the newspapers were rubbish, not our fault.
And I had Jack of Kent and he wasn't rubbish. It was good.
Yeah, he was good. That was good. That was a good thing.
That was a good thing that has happened.
Yes.
So...
who
what
won?
What should we say? Oh, well,
neither of us had a cut out and keep.
Why do you care who won? I mean, why can't we just...
Nobody
just...
had a cut out and keep. We both had pretty good bad
$100. Hey, Simon.
$100.
Simon, how about we just have a rematch next week?
I don't know. I don't know if I like that idea, because that would mean we'd have to come back and do it all again.
Oh, yeah, well, we're going to anyway.
Are we?
Yeah. There's a demand.
If you want to write to us, you can. It's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. You can
please do.
Follow us on Twitter at various accounts that you can find via our website, which is sundaysupplement.com. We haven't decided on a winner. We're mavericks.
Well, why don't you do a poll vote saying who won this week's show?
Because I'll lose.
Well, if we put Jack of Kent on there and Francis Ween.
Right, okay.
As well as us.
So the newspaper you should all bought last week was Jack of Kent and Francis Ween's book, Strange Days Indeed.
We'll leave it to next week to tell them what they should have bought. We'll have an online poll. You can do them. You've done them before.
No, I'm not doing one. I'm not putting a poll in the field. There's too many polls in the field at election time. It's just going to be a field full of polls, and our poll will get lost amongst other polls that claim that Nick Clegg is more popular than Churchill.
A poll in the field is pretty much we're describing golf.
On which note, I'll see you next week. Cheerio.
Bye-bye, Simon. Bye-bye, readers. Bye-bye.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.